Jaspreet Boparai and Don Nicholson with Greenwashed on RCR, Reality Check Radio.
We've got a few minutes left, and Don and I might as well just get into the few climate crazies we can squeeze into this week, because I say, as every week, spoiled for choice. So what has anthropogenic, that is man-made global warming, being held responsible for this week? Well, it's been held responsible for 1 in 5 Americans being under a heat alert, that is 80 million Americans. It's been held responsible for fewer swallows in the sky. It's been held responsible for pretty much everything. And yet, Don, they can't tell us how does a single molecule of carbon dioxide from human, you know, activities differ from a single unit of carbon dioxide from natural processes.
Yeah, isn't that unique? We've wrapped ourselves up in knots for years, or tied ourselves up in knots for years, when things like the Tongan volcano erupting water into the atmosphere, or even the Icelandic volcanoes put CO2 into the atmosphere at greater levels that humans could ever think to do in hundreds of years, perhaps. So look, we're trying to tax ourselves.
And this whole amplification of wanting to tax us into oblivion certainly seems to have ramped up over the last 3-4 years during this COVID period. For whatever reasons, everyone was distracted. Economies are in dire straits. Our own economy has gone from what, a debt, national debt of $5 billion, to well over $70 billion in just over half a decade. And this is what we are worried about.
I think you're even understating the debt. I mean, there's many ways you can it's presented, but I think core crown debt might be in three figures now. So regardless, nothing's great about where we are, and they still want to pursue this sort of, you know, CO2 reduced nirvana. Well, there's going to be no reduced nirvana. There's going to be no nirvana with reduced CO2. As many people say, more CO2 helps the greening of the planet. So what is it? What is it that they want? And of course, we've got one guy in your climate group of stories this week, a Kenyan influencer. He's a farmer, and he's saying, give us fossil fuels. We need to have fossil fuels in Africa to advance ourselves. We've got a very fertile continent, and you're holding it back. You're holding us back. And of course, he put out stuff that sort of says that, and all of a sudden he got hosted by a fossil fuel company at a conference in South Africa. And of course, now he's being in the pocket of fossil fuel companies. Yeah. The guy wasn't saying nothing like that. He wanted to be a farmer that could use the same tools that we use in the West.
Fossil and fuels?
He's been starved of them.
And that's BBC for you. Sorry, John, I spoke over you. That's BBC for you. Suddenly a Kenyan farmer becomes a champion of climate change denial. No one points out to what exactly is he saying that is wrong. Or looking at the guy, he's not exactly rolling in it like some of the climate czars I have seen, from John Kerry to others going about in their jets, you know, as compared to those guys. This fellow doesn't have much, just looking by this sort of post he has. And there's nothing wrong with saying you want fossil fuels to develop your continent, but any voices of dissent must be quelled by juvenile name calling, climate denial.
You know, what's missing, and I haven't been to the African continent at all, but I know in some of their countries, property rights are a serious problem. So it's, aside from his want to use fossil fuels to advance his farming methods, if he hasn't got stable property rights and no corruption at the governance level, it's going to be a hard act, isn't it?
These guys have the temerity, Don, to talk about this guy that he's monetizing, this Kenyan influencer. So they say BBC looked at the fundraising pages set up by Mr. Machugo and found that in 2 years, he has raised £7,000. £7,000 in 2 years, right? And though some have been used to furnish his home, he's also claims to have used these donations to build a borehole, distribute gas bottles for cooking, or connecting their homes to the electricity grid. £7,000 in 2 years. Do you want to actually see what a grifter does? Look at the bigger climate czars. Look at the ones who, the scientists and the movers and shakers in the United Nations IPCC. Look at the ones that fly to Davos.
Yeah, so this guy's doing good stuff. And Doc, it'd be nice to talk to him one day and just see how he's standing up in the face of all this grief that he appears to be getting for actually being a good guy.
Yeah. Another one from the BBC. This one takes the cake. It says, climate change has made the US and Mexico heatwave in the summer. It is not a midwinter heatwave. It's a summer heatwave. Climate change has made it 35 times more likely. The organization doing the stellar research behind this is the World Weather Attribution Group. So there's a group that's actually dedicated to finding out how a molecule of human emissions versus a molecule of natural sources, which one has more impact and by what quantum. Talk about science.
Oh, yeah. It's right at the cutting edge. I mean, we've had, what, 1 degree since the Industrial Revolution in a global sense, but they're saying now it's 35 times more likely. Yeah, it's intriguing. I don't know how they do this calculation, but the heat waves, there'll be people struggling in heat waves in the US and Mexico right now, but they always have. What's unique? What's new?
Exactly.
It's a bit like the story on the Olympics, Jaspreet. I don't get it. I mean, they're worried about the heat in the Paris Olympics this year.
The Guardian warns that athletes are going to face the hottest games on record, which could threaten lives. And the annual Paris temperatures have warmed by 1.8 degrees since 1924. So they're saying in 100 years, Paris has gone up. Paris's annual temperature has gone up by 1.8 degrees almost.
Mm. Well, they chose to run the Olympics in Paris. Clearly, everyone knows it's warm in the summer there. They build concrete stadiums. Oh, that doesn't make it hotter, does it? Yeah, but so let's have the Olympics. I love the Olympics, by the way. I love when I was a kid growing up, the Olympics were the pinnacle, waiting 4 years for the next Olympics, let alone the Commonwealth Games every alternate 2 years. And I loved that track and field stuff because it was my sort of, I got my kicks out of that, I suppose. And now I'm thinking, you spoiled a lot. You get funded to go to a lot of these places, like sporting events around the world. The Olympics cost a poultice to run. Why don't you just go and get a paddock out in the suburbs of Paris and do your running events out there like they did a couple of hundred years ago or 100 years ago? Get rid of the stadiums. Let's be all miserable about it. But oh no, they want air-conditioned stadiums to a greater extent now after pouring concrete galore. I mean, they've taken the edge off me wanting to watch the Olympics, to be honest.
And this is where they should be talking about the urban heat island impact. Mm. This way, the amount of concrete that's poured, how much that increases your temperatures. They call them urban heat islands. And that is because the temperatures, as Climate the movie showed, explained very clearly, the temperatures in townships, urbanized areas, have grown at a much rapid rate than the ones in the rural areas because there is, you're surrounded by concrete, tons and tons of concrete. So, yeah,
well, and
sympathy from me.
Well, that article was summed up by or concluded by Sebastian Coe, who was a very fast middle distance runner. I think he's Lord Sebastian Coe now. He's the world president of athletics, 2-time gold medal winner. But he said, while global temperatures continue to rise, climate change should be increasingly viewed as an existential threat to sport. We are in a race against time, and this is one race that we can simply not afford to lose. I mean, get a life, Sebastian. Get a life.
Waiting to see what sort of, with all their pomp and ceremonies, splendor with which they open, there'll be something about climate change there.
Oh,
I have
sure.
No doubt there'll be some displays about everything woke that's going on.
Absolutely. Yeah. As woke stands for in New Zealand, wasters of Kiwi enterprise. So let's see what they do in Paris with woke.
100%. What else? The carbon auction?
Oh.
So the business desk carried this article four or five days ago, saying that titled, they held a carbon auction, but no one came. The second carbon auction of this year failed with no bids being made. There was no interest at all in the 4 million odd New Zealand units that were on offer. Now, again, no sympathy from me. I'm a bit of a heartless person in these artificially created markets, but people may recall, those who take an interest in all things carbon and climate, all of last year, There was no successful carbon auction, to the best of my knowledge, Don. The one in March, they sold a few, I think about a quarter of the units on offer. And this time nothing is sold. They have raised the ground price, you know, the floor price for carbon, to nearly $64 a ton. And if you create artificial markets out of thin air, well, you can stick them where the sun don't shine, as far as I'm concerned, because this is not something made out of someone's enterprise, someone's hard work, something that's tangible. This is an artificially created, artificially propped up, legislatively privileged market.
Absolutely right, Jaspreet. And it's, they call it the carbon market. It's the CO2 market. Again, something that's neither scarce nor undesirable. So they've milked it for years. But as I understand it, for them not being able to get a bid or a buyer effectively for this market, there's a liability now going on our books, a significant liability, because I think we don't,
treasury.
We have to fund these things if we're not able to generate cash.
Government has budgeted for it. I know that last year, when none of the carbon auctions were successful, the Treasury faced a shortfall of about 900 million, so just shy of a billion. Well, it's going to come from somewhere, isn't it? Because they have done their numbers, they've done their budgets with accounting for this sort of a cash to be coming out of thin air. Who's going to be paying it? You and me.
Well, we certainly are. And, you know, if the government wants to continue pandering to this nonsense for longer, well, perhaps they're hoping it all just goes away. I don't know. They keep trying to kick the can down the road. And that's probably the only thing they can do at the moment to retain some sort of international standing that they all seem to be worried about. But as our colleague from Australia said earlier, maybe it was off air, he said it to us, why don't we just get back to running our own countries? That's
sovereignty.
What we've got to do. Sovereignty is vital. And, you know, we just need to, I've always had the ambition, Jaspreet, that this market needs to die. The people that have made a killing out of it so far, good on you. You took your chance. You've made your cash, but go and find something else to do. That's what I think.
Absolutely. Something that increases the share of the pie, increases prosperity, out of sheer human enterprise. It doesn't have to be, you know, manual labor. It can be anything. But for God's sake, let's do something that adds to people's lives, not these Ponzi schemes, which is what this is.
Mm-hmm. There's so much more that we could advance our lives by doing. But, you know, as you know, in New Zealand, Jaspreet, we're always saying there's never enough money in Treasury to do X, Y, Z. And, you know, the politicians like to spray it all around. Well, if more money fixed stuff, why hasn't it? So I'd say, just as a good right of center thinker says, leave the money in my pocket. I will help stimulate the economy more than you can, Mr. and Mrs. Government Operator.
He said it. On that tone, I think, on that note, it's time for Don and me to say goodbye. We've had a good morning. Goodbye.
Right now, free speech is under heavy attack in New Zealand and overseas, with governments constantly devising new ways to enforce censorship. To make sure you never miss the critical news and breaking stories you rely on, join the RCR mailing list today. Get connected now at realitycheck.radio/email.